Me? Teaming with Michael Cole against John Cena and JR, just vuelto loco. It's some be feeling. A man like myself.
It's loco, está loco.
Está perdiendo la razón a este tipo.
Something I have to understand you, you have to understand me. The winner of tonight's match will pick the stipulation in the one-on-one title match this Sunday.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
El tiempo pasa.
Hola, muchachos. You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live on a Monday night. I'm James McDonald, joined by Corey Callahan.
How's it going there tonight, James?
Not too bad, buddy.
How are you liking this music?
You know what? I think this is going to be my new music of choice on my iPod.
This is my new ringtone on my iPhone.
You got me beat.
I just got the iPhone 4S today.
Oh, yeah. How are you liking it?
I don't know yet. I haven't got it synced up. I haven't even really used it yet.
Oh, okay. Well.
At least I have it. I am that much better than you now, James. Hola.
Yep, we're talking Monday Night Raw tonight.
Yes, and most importantly, it's the first ever live taping from Mexico City for Monday Night Raw.
It was taped on Saturday, wasn't it?
It was taped on Saturday. It wasn't live tonight, unfortunately. But, you know, you didn't really notice that it was taped on Saturday, did you?
No, not really.
No. So, Raw tonight coming to you from the Sports Palace in Mexico City, Mexico, of course.
Right, capital city.
And how are you feeling heading into this Raw tonight, James?
Well, my first impression was it can't be any worse than last week.
That's true. It did hit an all-time low last week, didn't it?
What a train wreck last week was.
All right, well, let's get it rolling right off the bat here. You know, to first start off Monday Night Raw in Mexico City, we have John Laurinaitis, the new Raw interim general manager, walking out to an immediate chorus of boos.
Yeah, he got pretty big heel heat from the crowd, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. But most importantly, as John Laurinaitis walks out, we see our first Twitter post for the evening. You know, when they throw up this graphic,
first of many, folks.
Yes, they throw up this graphic, of course, advertising that Twitter. You can use or you can mention Raw on your Twitter posts
To follow it at Raw. I think it was, or at WWE Raw. Is it?
Yeah, it's at WWE, and then it's pound Raw. I don't really know the lingo yet with the whole Twitter.
I don't really use Twitter that much, honestly.
But yeah, this is the first of many we would see throughout the evening. We'll get to that as it goes on. Of course, WWE enhancing their social media image. Anyway, so John Laurinaitis walks out. We are then introduced with a Triple H and John Laurinaitis video montage.
Oh, right, showing everything that's happened in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're really teasing a John Laurinaitis-Triple H kind of kind of feud here, almost like you'd see a match between the two of them.
I know, and that's something that we had briefly touched on last week.
That's
but
right.
I can't see John Laurinaitis actually getting in the ring, but that's just me.
You know what? Like I said, never say never, right?
Mm-hmm. So John Laurinaitis continuing to feed off that heel heat he had from last week when he fired Jim Ross in the hometown city of Oklahoma. John Laurinaitis, of course, tonight is announcing the return of Mexico's own Rey Mysterio. Except Rey's not returning to Mexico. He announces that he's returning to San Diego to see his doctor. And
what a huge pop, though, when the crowd gave him when he mentioned Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, so it's just funny, though, that John Laurinaitis is continuing to... he's continuing to use these heelish antics to immediately establish himself as one. And he announces the return of Rey, but it's not to Mexico. It's to his...
to San Francisco. To
San Diego, where he's already staying. To continue his rehab, seeing his doctor. And then he says, come on, crowd, you know, let's have a sense of humor.
You Mexican people have no sense of humor.
I know.
He really needs to enunciate better. We had to, like, rewind 5 times just to figure out what
he's
saying.
So hard to listen to, I find.
You know, I was saying on Thursday's show that I liked his voice. Well, after seeing him for a 20-minute segment like that, not anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. We had to stop and rewind our PVR a few times.
Terrible.
Trying to figure out just what exactly John Laurinaitis was saying.
Delivery is terrible. We'll get into more of this later here.
So, of course, after saying, he'll come on, crowd, have a sense of humor, he introduces his first order of business. And he kind of fumbled his words here, James. He said he wanted to welcome back to Raw.
Yeah, stumbling over JR's introduction.
Well, he's introducing good old JR back to Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, the guy he just fired last week.
What are your thoughts on that?
Like, again, this is the whole flip-flopping of the creative team, I think, where they're just writing this week to week. I think it's because they got such a huge backlash over doing this to Jim Ross in his hometown, and apparently he didn't even know about it.
I think this is just your normal, typical week-to-week writing that we are seeing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they needed to establish John Laurinaitis last week as a heel, and so what better way to do that than to fire the hometown boy, Jim Ross, you know, and they just thinking to themselves at the time, we can bring him back next week on Raw.
Jeez.
I mean, yeah. That's what I think. That's how I think they're thinking these days.
Yeah, no, from the evidence that I've seen, I'd totally have to agree with you there. I guess this is just Laurinaitis' first step into instilling control, integrity, and honor back into Raw, like he was mentioning.
I guess so. So, of course, when Jim Ross walked out, I don't know if you noticed, James, but this was the first chance that we got to see that the Spanish commentators were there tonight.
That's right. Carlos Cabrera and the other guy, Rodriguez.
Yes. I have it written down here.
It was like Marco Rodriguez or something?
Jeez, where Marcus. Did it go? I don't know where it went. I have it written down later on. Anyways, yeah, the two Spanish commentators. Anyways, Jim Ross gets into the ring, and right away, John Laurinaitis gives Jim Ross a great big hug.
Yeah, I thought that was definitely kind of weird.
Yeah,
to say the least.
So with Jim Ross in the ring, John Laurinaitis then says, you know, as he mentions something along the lines as much as he would like to see Jim Ross's suckering succotash.
Oh, that was terrible. Again, bad delivery by John Laurinaitis.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. What was he referring to there?
I don't know. I think Jim Ross sometimes says suffering succotash, or I don't know. Maybe it's just a play on his accent of his even Midwest accent.
Even if Jim Ross does say that once a year, the crowd in Mexico isn't going to understand what that means. I don't understand what that means. No. I think that John Laurinaitis is very nervous in that
ring. The crowd I found was very quiet for this and not really into it, because probably, like you said, they're not really piecing together the underlying meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He looks very stiff and mm-hmm. very nervous in the ring, to the point where it's unbearable to watch.
His delivery is just horrible.
And you throw in that raspy voice of his, I mean, I'm sick of him already.
Yeah.
I'm not even liking him as a heel. Like,
no.
I can appreciate someone that the crowd gets behind and boos. Like, you know, a good heel will have effective heel heat. Like Vicky Guerrero. But this isn't effective heel heat, in my opinion.
This is real heel heat. This is the kind of heat, James.
Just say it.
The X-Pac heat. sorry, Sean, but
it's so true.
I got no other way of saying it.
So John Laurinaitis then follows this up with saying he would like to see Jim Ross and Michael Cole settle their differences tonight. And so it's actually going to be Cole teaming up with Alberto Del Rio, and they're going to take on the tag team of Jim Ross and John Cena.
That's the main event for the evening, set up right there.
At this point, Randy Orton comes out to a huge pop.
Yeah, Randy Orton got a huge pop. But before that, did you see Michael Cole dancing up and down on the announcer's table as Jim Ross was pointing at him just to kind of build up the match?
He kind of second-guessed himself when he found out he was going against
Cena. What did you think of that?
Well, I don't know. It's it's something that Cole does all the time. I mean, he's, you know.
Michael Cole sure plays his character well. I will give him that. He's very, very annoying, but does he play his character well.
He's not annoying to the point where I don't like him, John Laurinaitis.
He's not John Laurinaitis annoying.
No. I find his commentating to be a little too much at times. But when Cole turns on the heel, you know, when he turns on that character of his, I don't find him to be that bad. I actually think he does it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. I just don't like when he's commentating with Booker T, and every time Booker T says something, he's got to cut him down, or
mm-hmm.
you know, it's got to make it uncomfortable for that's Booker what T I don't to do like. His job, you know.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I don't like. So we head to commercial break, but this eventually sets up Orton, Sheamus, and John Morrison, and they're going to be taking on Mark Henry, Christian, and Cody Rhodes.
That's right, 3-on-3, 6-man tag match.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I had to laugh at was, why didn't they do any of their entrances during the commercial break? They waited until they came after the commercial break, and then they did their entrances for each wrestler. Isn't that something that could have taken place?
I agree with you, but I think Randy Orton got enough positive heat that he could actually posture there during the commercial break, and then leading into it.
So before this match begins, we actually do find out from Cole. He announces Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes at Vengeance.
Right, and they had the video montage again of what happened last week between Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton, kind of leading up to their match at Vengeance there, the bag over his head and that weird receipt comment.
So now we have Cody Rhodes versus Orton at Vengeance. Your thoughts, quick thoughts.
I think it's going to be a real good match. Probably might be the match of the night.
Mm-hmm. I feel like these two have been going at it for quite a long time, though. I mean, if you think back about it, if you think back, they've been going at it since WrestleMania 26.
Here's my question to you, Corey. Do you think this should be for the IC strap, this match?
Is it not going to be at this point?
No.
They haven't announced that, have they?
No, it's a non-title match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Why
I
not?
I think it definitely should be. That would totally add prestige to the belt, having somebody like Randy Orton.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why.
What, is he too good to compete for the IC belt now?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's
hate
a good
that
thought.
I hate that mentality. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, why they're not doing that?
No.
Good question. So they also announced before this match starts that Mark Henry versus The Big Show at Vengeance is now official as well.
Oh, we knew that last week.
No, it was never made official until right now.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
They might have actually announced it on SmackDown. I can't remember.
Right, I think they did.
I can't, yeah.
I'm pretty sure they did.
So in the end of this 3-on-3 match, let me just get right to the end of it. Orton ends up attacking Rhodes outside the ring. During the match, he actually attacks Orton. Orton attacks Rhodes outside the ring. They run to the backstage area.
Yeah, basically mid-match, they kind of tumbled out of the ring and then just Orton chased Rhodes basically away from the match, essentially.
They come back from commercial break, and we are now down to Rhodes and Orton.
Rhodes and Orton are
sorry,
gone.
They're gone. Yeah, yeah, it's now a tag team match involving Sheamus and
Joe
Morrison
yep.
versus Christian and
Mark Henry.
And Mark Henry, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries.
So that's where we're left. And at this point, we see another Twitter graphic. So
that's
we're at second one for the night.
It's number two.
After a little while, Christian and Sheamus run to the back. We're now down to Henry and Morrison.
Yeah, I think it was Sheamus tossed him out of the ring and then tossed Christian over the barricade.
What are your thoughts on how these wrestlers just leave a match mid-match to head to the backstage area and you don't see him again for the rest of the night?
Honestly, I didn't like the way this match was booked.
No.
This is a very terribly booked match. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if I was a fan there, if I was a Mexican fan and I paid good money to see the WWE for the first time live, I would have felt cheated because, number one, I didn't get to see an RKO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Randy Orton was in the match for all of, 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Didn't get to see an RKO. And, I mean, he had huge heat there. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who felt cheated there.
Yeah,
I didn't like the booking of this match.
I don't like how they do that. I don't like how they run to the back.
Yeah, anyways, the match ended up being Mark Henry versus John Morrison, and we can pretty much figure out how that one went.
And the ending of this one was actually quite impressive.
Oh, my God. That was really impressive.
Mark Henry will bounce John Morrison off the ropes. He actually throws him up into the air, catches him in midair, and turns it into the world's strongest slam for your 1-2-3.
One fluid motion, too. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it looked very devastating.
Yeah.
And if I have to compliment Mark Henry on top of the compliments I already give him, his finishing move, it looks devastating.
Yep. It looks like a finishing move.
And I think he does it so well that he's probably not doing too much damage to the guy. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I mean, looking at him doing it, he's pretty much falling on his knees, really,
yeah,
right?
But it just looks really good.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm. So after this match is over, after that World's Strongest Slam, we actually do come to a graphic announcing CM Punk versus Miz later tonight. We head to a commercial break. We come back to a Brodus Clay montage, our second one that we've seen, I think, in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Your thoughts on Brodus Clay?
You know what? I'm liking Brodus Clay. From what I can see, what he can do in his size, I think, if they push him and book him correctly, Brodus Clay could be one of the guys of the future, I think.
Really?
Oh, definitely.
I don't know if that look these days are going to go over.
You know what? I just like it because it's different. It's not that muscular, athletic look that you see so many guys on the roster have.
But there's also a reason why you don't see those looks anymore, because fans just aren't.
No. I'm talking about the muscular, athletic look guys like Dolph Ziggler have and Kofi King. Like everybody, you know, all those guys.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But what I'm saying is the look of Brodus Clay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's as effective as it once was. I think people want to. I mean, we all know that people want good-looking people on television.
Well, of course.
And if Brodus Clay is as ugly-looking as he is, are the fans ever going to get behind him? No. So he's an immediate heel. And unless they push him to the moon, how successful is he going to be? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I guess it waits to be seen. But I think he can be fairly successful.
All right.
Yeah, no, given the right...
We will see.
Given the right push and the right booking, I think he's got the in-ring talent to be able to go far.
Okay. After this montage, we actually go backstage with John Laurinaitis, who's on a cell phone. The Bella Twins walk in. They give him a kiss on the cheek, as they always like to do to their managers or bosses or whoever they're dealing with.
Laurinaitis getting a little bit of sugar.
They leave, and of course, John Laurinaitis gets right back on his cell phone. That's his
it seems to be the theme with John Laurinaitis. Whenever he's by himself, he's either texting or on his cell phone. Mm-hmm. His cell phone seems to be like the other part of John Laurinaitis type thing.
Who do you think he's texting?
I don't know. His wife. Kevin Nash. That's who he's texting.
I'm saying escort agencies.
I'm saying Kevin Nash.
All right.
Kevin Nash's escort agency.
So Del Rio walks right up to John Laurinaitis and he starts speaking Spanish. And he basically says, me and Michael Cole versus John Cena and Jim Ross, really? And that's where John Laurinaitis announces, as we just heard in the clip at the beginning of the show, that the winner of tonight's matchup gets to pick the stipulation for Vengeance, where it's going to be Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena for the WWE Championship.
Oh.
So that's our main event tonight.
That's the big main event.
That's what we're finding out, the match stipulation.
Really? So they have to have a stipulation. That was my first question, is why do you have to have a stipulation for the match?
My first question was, that's the big hype for the show. Like, that's what we're looking forward to at the end, is what the match stipulation is. I mean, that's not really that big of a deal to me.
Honestly, these people in Mexico don't give a crap.
I know. I don't think so. They got to have
this. I wouldn't.
There was nothing.
I wouldn't.
The one thing I noticed about Raw tonight was there was no real devastation of any kind, storyline wise.
No.
There was just no impact. It was just a typical show, you know, where they introduce the main event at the beginning and we find out the result at the end. And
to me, it was your atypical go-home show to Vengeance. They basically put all the matches on the card together and went, here we go. This is what's happening on Sunday.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. At this point, Eve Torres then will walk out with Kelly Kelly. Natalya walks out. We have a Divas match with Natalya versus Eve.
Boy.
One thing I found funny about this little segment here is one of the lines that Michael Cole said during the match, and he said kind of sarcastically, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Eve could beat Beth Phoenix at Vengeance. And just the way he said it was, to me, like, you're just admitting that Eve is much lower than Beth Phoenix heading into this show. And it just, no one, the way he said it, it's just like, even he didn't believe that she could beat her at Vengeance. And I don't know. I just feel like you're already talking down one of the competitors.
Well, geez, it's a contest. Who's worse, Kelly Kelly or Eve?
Like. That's so true. And we kind of saw that when Eve did that moonsault to hers on Natalya for the 1-2-3.
Oh, Natalya had to wait for, like, what was it, 5 to 7 seconds? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't like anything about it.
But. So we're going to see Beth Phoenix versus Natalya. Or sorry.
No.
Beth Phoenix versus Eve Torres at Vengeance.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to that one, James?
Like, I look forward to every single Divas match. But I honestly, Corey, I can see Eve Torres winning this match, and then it's going to create a rift between Eve and Kelly, and then they go from there.
Oh, guaranteed. We then come to a graphic which makes Triple H and CM Punk versus The Miz and R-Truth official at Vengeance.
What do you think about that?
Oh, God.
Where do we go with this?
I cannot believe we are putting Triple H and CM Punk on the same team one pay-per-view after they just wrestled each other.
Yeah. Again, CM Punk has lost any edge, any steam that he has gathered.
I guess it would be two pay-per-views since they've wrestled each other, because there was Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, it's been two pay-per-views, but still.
I guess it just happened so quick, I didn't even think about that.
But still, it's just, let's, you know, forget what happened, you know, 2 weeks ago.
If you think about it in terms of time, I mean, it'd be a month, right? So it was two pay-per-views ago, but it was a month ago that these two were wrestling.
And this was supposed to be an intensely personal battle. You insulted my wife. You insulted me as a man.
And we are now making them wrestle on the same team at Vengeance.
But 1 month later, I'm your buddy.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. It's,
I don't know.
I don't like it.
And
I don't like it.
And I just the way CM Punk was sort of looking at The Miz and R-Truth when they were cutting this promo, which I'm about to tell you about, you know, like, he looked like, I'm not worried because I got Triple H on my side now. It's like, really?
I know. Hmm. You know, it should be an uneasy alliance at best. I think I was mentioning that to you as we were watching the show, but
you described that perfectly.
Like, it shouldn't be all buddy-buddy, I'm going to come out and stand in your corner, which we'll get to later. Mm-hmm. It's stupid.
CM Punk walks out to a good reaction. You know,
yeah, he got a pretty good reaction from the
crowd. So like I said before, Miz and R-Truth cut a promo on Punk. Nothing really of substance, just kind of get the crowd.
Well, basically
going.
Miz getting in his face saying, I did what you couldn't, and I got Triple H out of here, or I got Triple H fired.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Triple H then walks out in a suit kind of aggressively. We hit commercial break. We then come back to Punk versus The Miz, like they advertised before, but this time, but what we find out is Triple H is in the corner of Punk, and R-Truth is in the corner of The Miz.
Well, Triple H has got to come out and back his buddy up.
Yeah.
God forbid he could let CM Punk go against two guys and look really strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But no, Triple H has to get his airtime. That's what it's seeming like to me now. It's like a double entendre of the creative team kind of running on the seat of their pants and Triple H wanting to get as much, as much spotlight as possible. I mean,
is Triple H going to be a full-time wrestler again, though?
That's what it's looking like.
Because if he's not, why is he taking this much airtime away from a potential wrestler who needs it?
Exactly. I don't know.
I mean, he's a star, and he is that face.
I don't know. Maybe he's only going to wrestle at pay-per-views.
Maybe. I mean, they do need to keep some reputable names on television, right? Like, that's why you keep bringing legends back.
Yeah, he is one of the few active connections to the Attitude Era.
Exactly. I mean, you can only bring back the real legends so often before the crowd isn't buying it anymore, right? Yeah. At least Triple H, you're still buying it.
Yeah.
I don't understand what he's trying to be.
I will give Triple H, like you said before, he does make everything he does look extremely believable. But then again, on the flip side, he really eats up a lot of the spotlight, a lot of the TV sometimes.
Yeah, no one makes wrestling more believable than Triple H. I mean, everything he does, I'm buying into. The way he talks, his
movements, his punches,
his aggression at times. Yeah. When he's serious, he can be serious. When he wants to joke, he can be joking around. He just makes, when he is involved in a heated storyline, you are buying into it and you are believing it. And I still believe that Triple H is one of the best out there.
Yeah.
I just don't know what he's doing because he's obviously not wrestling every day. If he's just wrestling on pay-per-views, is that really fair to everyone else? I mean, I guess.
He's taking a spot away from one of the younger guys, I guess.
Yeah, it's just a thought, like,
Is he going to become WWE's Hogan or what?
No, I don't think so. I can't see that happening.
No, I can't either.
Who would be WWE's Hogan, like, if you were to think about it right now?
Right now? If there's somebody who had the power that Hulk Hogan had, I'd have to say it'd be The Undertaker.
But who is, like, the one wrestler who's so old that shouldn't be wrestling? Is there really anyone?
Not really.
No, there isn't.
No, there's nobody I can look at on the roster right now and go, okay, that guy should be put out to pasture.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Used to be Hacksaw Jim Duggan, but no, there's not really.
No, I mean, they've done a pretty good job of curbing that.
Yeah.
They give the occasional legend a match here and a match there, and that's good because the fans want to see one match here and one match there.
Kind of like Jerry Lawler, right?
It's just funny how Impact differs from the WWE in that department, don't they?
Yeah.
It is, because you got Hogan and Flair and Sting. I mean, those guys should have been gone a long time ago.
Quick thoughts on Bound for Glory? Happened yesterday?
I haven't seen it yet. I've just heard the results, and I don't know. Not putting the belt on Bobby Roode.
Yeah, kind of a mistake.
You have a chance to build a superstar here.
Yeah.
And it's a very delicate ground, right? You don't want to screw that up. But for the first time, they have someone that they can really build up to be something great. And they kind of
build their own star. That's the thing, right? That's the thing that TNA doesn't have that the WWE has in spades, is that the WWE has made multitudes of stars.
Yeah.
Well, TNA hasn't really made anybody on their own, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's just sort of something that they haven't learned yet. And they had it right in the palm of their hand at Bound for Glory with Bobby Roode.
I wouldn't say it's not something they haven't learned. It's just their booking practices.
They're setting up for another, they're setting up a storyline for down the road, but Bound for Glory is supposed to be like their big pay-per-view of the year. That's where the storylines are supposed to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Not setting up for
not begin new storylines, exactly.
I would have liked to have seen him win the belt, but,
So, Hogan lost to Sting and turned face in the process.
Really? So the orange and yellow is back? Or the red and yellow, I guess?
Well,
I
wouldn't say the red and yellow is back. He came out in like jeans and a t-shirt, apparently. But,
oh, okay.
But yeah, he ripped his shirt at the end of the match.
And he took three bumps, you said?
He took three bumps, which is three more than anybody expected him to take.
Woo! Well, good for him. At least he took a few.
So Sting wins, and now Dixie Carter has control of TNA again.
Really?
Yep.
Mm. We should do a review show one day of a TNA show and just see, how much we rip this Monday Night Raw. We should just go off on we should just get like really drunk one night and just talk about TNA and what we
should
think
play like
it.
A TNA drinking game.
Whenever anybody over the age of like 40 comes out, we take a shot. We'll be smashed by the end of this show.
And then come on, yeah, and then come on our show and do a review show.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea. All right, let's get back to Monday Night Raw. So Triple H, okay, where are we here? Oh, the end spot of this Punk versus Miz match involves Truth hitting Punk with a water bottle. And Michael Cole at this point, I remember him saying something like, vintage Truth.
Yeah, apparently it's like...
apparently it's vintage Truth it's to hit like, someone with a water bottle.
Yeah.
Triple H then chases Truth up the ramp. At this point, John Laurinaitis comes out with three guys in suits and says that Triple H has an immigration problem.
Yeah, they were from the immigration office. It was like four Mexican guys in suits. So anyways, Laurinaitis comes down the ramp holding these papers, tells Triple H that there's an immigration problem and he has to leave with these gentlemen immediately.
When he does kind of oblige and begin to walk up the ramp, Truth is on the ramp mocking Triple H. Triple H wastes no time and just
smokes him. And then again, yeah. I think that's when I said to you, man, Triple H has good looking punches.
Oh, he does. And Truth sold it well.
Yep.
It looked good. So Triple H walks to the back. We go to commercial break. We come back with Triple H and John Laurinaitis walking out of the building. And Triple H kind of muttered under his breath, I wonder how this happened. And they kind of let it slide there. And then John Laurinaitis is standing there after Triple H has left. And he's standing there with David Otunga, of all people. John Laurinaitis is on his phone at this point texting someone.
What else is new?
To me, it's just becoming like a cheap cliffhanger.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's just a cheap cliffhanger. You just leave the audience wondering who he's texting.
Hey, but it works. It's like the Raw anonymous general manager.
It does work.
That's disappeared.
It does work. I don't get it, but it does work. Like, I don't know why, but it does.
And it's that sense of mystery.
Yeah. So we then actually do, while this is all taking place, we then come back to the CM Punk and The Miz wrestling their match still.
Yeah, there's a nice little homage to Eddie Guerrero there when Punk did the slingshot headbutt onto Miz,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of neat.
That did look very good.
It was a move that Eddie created.
Yep. The crowd in Mexico didn't really react to it, though, but I did notice that, much like yourself.
Yeah.
At this point, we do see another Twitter plug.
So that's number three?
Yep.
Jeez.
At the end of this spot, or the end of this match, had R-Truth on the apron. The Miz was thrown into Truth. Punk gets a roll up on the Miz.
Schoolboy roll up, my absolute least finishing spot. Oh, I hate schoolboy roll ups.
Three.
I hate them.
Immediately, R-Truth and the Miz begin to beat down Punk. Refs come out. Immediately, Miz and Truth put their hands up and they leave peacefully.
Okay, this is what I thought was so stupid is that. R-Truth ran back to the ring, gave CM Punk with the shut-up move,
mm-hmm.
and then Miz comes back, tries to faux help the referees separate R-Truth.
He waited till the refs turned their back to him.
So, yeah, the refs, he was in between the refs and CM Punk,
yeah.
which didn't make any sense to me at all.
Well, why the refs would turn their back on Miz... is kind of weird. But to me, this is something that they could play up with that conspiracy angle. Because when I was watching that, I was thinking to myself, wow, it's almost like the refs were in on this. You know, it's almost like they kind of were stopping The Miz and R-Truth from beating down Punk. But at the same time, they were kind of letting it slide.
Really? I just thought it looked awkward to me.
Oh, really? I think they almost did that on purpose a little bit. Like, it was this might come out down the road as part of a storyline. I immediately thought of that. Because I'm thinking to myself, why did the refs turn their back on The Miz and just let him pick him up and do a slam?
That's what I thought. I thought it didn't make any sense that they didn't get between Miz and CM Punk.
And he
had full access to him.
If they were smart, that's a subtle thing that they could use as, you know, down the road as part of this conspiracy thing.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
But the real, again, though, when you think about it, the refs were at ringside walking out because of unsafe work conditions. Like, there's a lot. I think there's... I don't know if there's like this really, maybe they're just writing so well that we don't expect it. And that all these little things are going to come out down the road to some one big event where we find out the truth of what's been happening.
You know what? I think the thing that bothers me the most about this whole segment was, why was it referees that were coming down and separating them? Why wasn't it security guards? Wasn't it the referees just 2 weeks ago complaining about unsafe work environment because of being beat up by R-Truth and The Miz?
I know.
And now you got them running down to separate them?
I know.
And get in the ring with them again?
But they did leave peacefully, or they put their hands up. This is one of the things that Miz and R-Truth are doing, is they're putting their hands up immediately when that security or the refs enter the ring.
Immediate surrender, yeah, but I don't know. Still, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it just didn't make
sense. No, I agree with what you're saying. Like, there was a bit of weirdness to that whole segment. Yeah. And I can't figure out if that weirdness was legit or was just that they just didn't really know what was going on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe they wanted to create that weirdness, but maybe they didn't.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. To me, it just, the whole show was awkwardly booked, if you ask me. But
So when the refs weren't looking, of course, like we had said, Miz grabbed Punk and gave him the skull-crushing finale. That threw us into a commercial break. We then come back from commercial break.
Hold on, sorry, but I got to stop you right here, because the best part of that whole match was Michael Cole saying that since John Laurinaitis has come to power, the ratings have done nothing but go up. Do you remember when he said that just before the finish of that match?
Yes, I did hear that.
I had to point that out because we know that the ratings dropped off.
The second hour dropped significantly from the first hour last week on Raw.
13% or something stupid like that.
That just shows the credibility that's left in commentating.
No, that just goes to show the what's the word I'm looking for? The respect they have for their viewers' intelligence.
It's true. No, you're right.
You know,
that's what I mean. I don't believe anything they say anymore. Why should I when they throw out facts like that?
Yeah,
well. We then come back from commercial break, and they do introduce this Spanish announced team finally. It's Marcelo Rodriguez.
Marcelo, thank you. I thought it was Marcus.
Yeah, no, it's Marcelo Rodriguez and Carlos Cabrera. Marcelo is actually quite new to the announced team. He is the newest Spanish commentator. Of course, Carlos has been there for a long time. We then get to Michael Cole announcing the results of last week's poll that they were asking on their WWE.com website. And that poll was, what would you name the WWE Network's themed show
for WrestleMania?
Yeah, it's going to be the first show on the WWE Network, and it's going to be about WrestleMania and what it's all about. And the votes are in, and the first show is going to be named WrestleMania Rewind.
And it had 36.5% of the votes, I believe.
WrestleMania Rewind, isn't that what they call their matches when they...
That's
what they call their matches, like the night, the first Raw after WrestleMania, or sometimes but leading up to WrestleMania, they throw together old WrestleMania matches on Raw.
Yeah, just like old clips or whatever, and they call it the WrestleMania Rewind.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what they're going to call their new first show on the network now.
But then we found out something a little interesting, and that this week the fans can log on to WWE.com and vote on the first reality show, which will air on the new WWE Network, and that is going to consist of WWE legends living under the roof of one house.
Oh, my God. That's all I can say. How are they going to do this now? I mean,
it sounds... This is the thing. It sounds so ridiculous.
This sounds like a train wreck just waiting to happen.
But do you want to see it?
Yeah, I do. That's the funny part.
I do too. I want to see that.
But just because you know it's going to be so bad.
But here's the thing. That's one show. Like, how long will a show like that last? The longevity of a show like that doesn't seem that great. I mean, people want to check out these WWE legends living under one roof. Is it going to be a show that's going to keep people coming back for more?
Well, you know what? It's all going to depend on how they do it. You can do it good or you can do it bad. But my expectation is they're going to do it real cheesy. Like, they're going to do it like Jersey Shore-like almost.
If they were smart, they would follow the model of what you see on A&E with like Gene Simmons, Family Jewels, or those shows that you see on TLC, you know, I'm not using K+8 as an example, but you know, you try and make it a real credible show.
Yeah.
Like you produce it well, right? Like, I don't know how to describe it properly.
Or you could make it garbagey and trashy, like
you could. That's what I'm saying. They shouldn't do. Like, don't.
But I'll bet you that's what they
will do.
Don't trash
it up. Don't trash it up. Make it a decent show.
Yeah, but I bet you that's what they will do.
I hope they don't make them do stupid competitions that are so over the top. And like, that's what I don't want to see. I'd like to see actually legit, intelligent competitions with these wrestlers. Yeah. You know, like, let's find out the intelligence level
of these guys. I'd like to see some of these guys just sitting around throwing stories of the old days on the road, you know?
That would be cool.
That would be totally cool.
I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of competition aspect to this whole thing.
There's got to be.
Yeah, so what that is will determine, really.
Like, I'm sure there's going to be somebody getting eliminated and sent home.
That will really, that every week, how they format this show will really be the deciding factor on the longevity of the program and the success of the program, I think.
What do you think, doing it like a Survivor-style show? where there's like strategy and stuff involved.
Well, that's what I want to see.
Me too.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see some Big Brother type competition where they have to mini golf. You know, you need to mini golf, and if you have the lowest score in mini golf, then you get control or you get immunity. And you know, I don't want to see that stuff.
Yeah,
I want to see legit competition between these WWE legends, because let's remember, at one time we were looking up to these guys, and these guys were larger than life superstars.
Exactly.
Let's not diminish their credibility and their integrity by putting them through some ridiculous clown house, you know?
I totally agree with you, buddy.
All right.
Do it well, WWE. That's all we're saying is please do it well.
I'm begging you, because that really matters in this one.
This could be really good or this could be a train wreck, but I'm seeing a train wreck.
We then see Jack Swagger walking out with Dolph Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero, who is wearing a lovely Spanish dress.
Yeah, what do you call those dresses?
I just called it Spanish
dresses. They're like flamenco dresses, aren't they?
I don't know the name of them.
Oh, they're like something like flamenco.
Honestly, I should know way more about Mexico and Spanish than we do, but I am so ignorant in that area. I can't even tell you.
Yes.
When my girlfriend and I went to Mexico for the first time, I didn't even know how to say hello. We get off the plane and people are saying hola, and I'm like, Laura, what does that mean? I had no idea. I just never thought about Mexico or Spanish until I went there for the first time.
Oh, jeez.
I should know way more, so I don't. I'm sorry. So we see Jack Swagger, like I said, walking out with Ziggler and Vicky. Vicky then announces that it's going to be Swagger and Ziggler versus Air Boom at Vengeance. That is now official.
Oh.
Ziggler takes the match, takes the mic, and through his little rant, one thing you noticed was that Ziggler called himself a heel.
Yeah, he called himself a heel. I'm like, I can't believe you just did that.
No kidding. You don't see that every day.
No, you don't.
So then Swagger takes the mic from Ziggler, and he tells the crowd in Mexico City that he's going to start singing the U.S. anthem.
Oh, my God. The heat that he got was unbelievable.
Oh, I thought this was excellent.
Oh, I thought it was great, too, the heat that he was getting, but just unbelievable.
And so what's funny is that
the crowd was just crapping on him.
What's funny is that he kind of gets mixed up and he loses his spot in the song.
I wonder if he was actually supposed to complete the song. That's what I wonder.
I think this was all part of it. He kind of loses his spot in the song, and then he says to the crowd that they made him lose his spot in the song, and he's going to start singing it again beginning.
Maybe he was supposed to. That's kind of like a cue for Zack Ryder to come on.
That was such a good little extra thing to do.
It was. It totally was.
Yeah, for sure. But he doesn't make it through the song because Zack Ryder then walks out.
But just before that, I just got to mention, I was sitting there watching. I was wondering if Vicky was going to make any reference to Eddie. That's kind of what I was.
Did she? No, she
no,
didn't.
She did. She didn't make any reference to Eddie whatsoever. And I was kind of wondering if she was going to, but in the end, she didn't.
It's kind of funny because you don't really hear them refer to her. I mean, they still do call her Vicky Guerrero, but most people these days just kind of think of her as Vicky. Don't you think that?
No, I think of her as Vicky Guerrero.
You think of her as Vicky Guerrero?
Oh, yeah. You got to have the Guerrero in there.
Yeah, interesting. I think of her as Vicky for some reason.
Oh.
I don't know. So, Swagger versus Zack Ryder. That's where we're going with this. No,
it's Swagger versus Zack Ryder.
What did I say?
You said Ziggler.
Oh. Sorry.
It's tough. I know similar names.
Swagger versus Zack Ryder. And this match did not last very long.
Holy crap. This match lasted. I think you went to go to the bathroom or something.
No, like. I had to go put my password in my computer so we could get this show up and running.
Oh, and
I didn't even have time to walk to the studio to turn on my computer.
And I'm like, hey, the match is done.
So Swagger ends up, he backed Ryder into the corner. Ryder got his knees up. Swagger was stunned. Rough Rider, it's over. 1, 2, 3.
Like maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable.
And so then Zack Ryder was on the outside, kind of near the commentator area. And Swagger and Ziggler, they kind of cornered Zack Ryder from both sides. And all of a sudden, we have Mason Ryan, music hits.
His
and
generic he walks sounding out. Music.
And kinda, Mason
you
Ryan
mean,
walks
you mean
out.
Waddles out.
Yeah. And believe it or not, James, we got the pleasure of having Mason Ryan take the microphone.
Oh, my God.
And he tells Dolph Ziggler that they have a match next and that he should get ready and let's go. And
it's bad enough we have to watch him wrestle, but to hear him speak to WWE, why do you hate us?
I know. No one is buying Mason Ryan as a face,
nope.
are they?
Nope.
Why would you? He's so bad.
He's why would you push him as a face? He's got to be a heel.
I know. Just the look of him.
Just, yeah, he's got to be a monster heel.
Is it weird, though, that Batista managed to work as a face, but Mason Ryan isn't?
Well, Batista's got a crap load more charisma than Mason Ryan does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they differ.
Yeah, I know. And he Mason Ryan's just so stiff in the ring. He just looks very new in the ring still.
He's so green. It's naughty. He's green as grass.
Yeah, he hasn't been wrestling for very long anyways, and it really shows.
Oh, man. I think I was saying to you watching the match with Ziggler, is like, man, I would not want to be working with Mason Ryan. That's for sure.
I know.
Whew, dude, look stiff.
We go to commercial. We come back. It's now Dolph Ziggler versus Mason Ryan. And yet again, another Twitter plug.
Number four
on the evening.
Jeez.
In the end, Mason Ryan gets DQ'd for actually not backing out of the corner within the five count. I thought that was pretty decent.
I thought, you know what? I think that's the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah. I thought that is a good ending to a match that you don't see every day. You know?
I thought that was kind of interesting because, mm-hmm. You don't see that every day. Guy getting called for the disqualification for not getting the guy out of the corner. But
yep. Mason Ryan didn't care if he got DQ'd. He ends up picking Dolph Ziggler. And what I thought was going to be that spinning slam.
The spinning Sambo suplex.
Yeah, spinning Sambo suplex. What I thought was going to be that, he actually changed it into a spinning power slam tonight.
Yeah, probably because it's a little bit safer for the guy taking it.
Yeah, because I think that was pretty devastating for Ziggler, who took it last week. I mean, it looked bad.
It did not look like it was fun to take.
No, so I think he's sort of changing that up.
And I think that's good. I think that standing power slam he does looks better anyways.
No, I agree for sure. We then go backstage to Jim Ross, and he's getting ready for his match with Cena. He's with Cena is what I'm saying, right. Yeah. And he says he doesn't want to ruin Cena's match at Vengeance. He's kind of reluctant to take part in this match tonight with Michael Cole.
Well, of course.
And Cena, of course, reassures him that that's not a big deal and that that's not going to happen. They then cut to Cole, who's live in the crowd.
You forgot JR asking Cena for a little piece of Michael Cole if the chance arises.
That's right.
And that will play into the match later.
We then cut to Cole, who just witnessed what Jim Ross said to John Cena. And he's in the audience, and he takes the microphone, and he basically taunts Jim Ross to the audience. And then he kind of ends his little rant with something I laughed at. And Michael Cole said, his wife is Mexican, so you all have to cheer for him. Yeah. And then we head to commercial break.
So because my wife is Mexican, you all have to cheer. I love it.
Hey, I'll cheer for him because of that.
Hey, he's so good.
So we come back.
So bad at the same time.
We then come back to a graphic of them advertising the longest running episodic TV show, and like we had sort of mentioned last week, SmackDown is number two with 634 episodes.
Yeah, they just beat out Gunsmoke.
Mm-hmm.
They're ahead. Well,
I think that's impressive.
I think that's impressive too.
The two shows on television that have more episodes than anyone else are Raw and SmackDown. That's got to mean something.
Well, it's kind of misleading because they put out a show every single week.
Where other TV shows have seasons.
Yeah, where they have seasons, which only consist of, say, 20 to 25 episodes a season, right?
But, I mean, the difference is that those are pre-produced shows, and then this is a live show, right?
Which
you can crank out a lot. Yeah. Opinion. Well, no, but you can crank out a lot more live shows than you can crank out pre-produced shows.
Yeah.
Right? So that's sort of where the difference is. I don't know. I still like the stat, though, and it's still impressive in my eyes.
Yeah.
We then come to Ricardo Rodriguez, and then of course he announces or introduces Alberto Del Rio, who walks out with a 2009 Aston Martin, apparently worth $150,000. A mixed crowd reaction for Alberto Del Rio, though.
Yeah, it was weird. I was expecting just a massive pop for Alberto, and it was kind of mixed.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect because of course this is his hometown or home country, but he is sort of new, right? I mean, he is the champion, but he hasn't been going in the WWE for that long. I mean, hasn't even really been, well, it's been a year, but hasn't, that's a fast year.
His father and his uncle are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you're right, he's kind of new on the scene, I guess.
So is there enough time for him to get that huge reaction in Mexico? Should he have that big reaction in Mexico by this point, you think?
Well, I don't know. I thought he would have just got the huge reaction just being the whole country guy, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Kind of like British Bulldog did in England, right? British Bulldog just, oh, man.
I wonder if this would have changed based off the man he was feuding with. Because obviously he's in a storyline with John Cena right now.
Yeah.
And as we witnessed here shortly, that can matter, because the crowd was definitely behind John Cena tonight.
Holy, were they ever.
Tell them the funny thing that we were saying about how it changes from when they were in Edmonton to...
Okay, so we're in Edmonton, Alberta. John Cena takes his shirt off, throws it to the crowd, and they throw it back to him, not once, but twice.
But when he takes it off in Mexico,
holy,
the crowd goes nuts.
Jeez.
That just shows the difference in countries, doesn't it?
No kidding. Oh, well. Shows where the smart wrestling fans are.
Mm-hmm. Ricardo then introduces Michael Cole. Jim Ross then walks out. Cena comes out to a huge reaction.
Unbelievable. Wow, did he ever get a pop?
And this is the funny thing to me. Isn't it funny how they boo the U.S. anthem, but then they absolutely love John Cena, who is really the image of the United States?
No kidding. Mr. Marine himself.
How
does that work?
I know. That's
there
just,
you go. That is marketing at its finest,
that's
ladies
just something
and gentlemen.
I just noticed that. I'm just thinking to myself, you boo the U.S. anthem, but you love John
Cena.
But
you cheer Mr. Marine.
Yeah. So this brings us to our main event of the night, Jim Ross and John Cena versus Michael Cole and Alberto Del Rio. And our final Twitter plug begins this match.
Number five. So that's five Twitter plugs in the span of 2 hours, which makes it...
That's a Twitter, lot.
Which makes it a Twitter plug, I think, every 27 minutes, 26 minutes.
Do you not think that's a little too much?
A little bit. Do one in the first hour, do another one in the second hour. But five, it's a little bit much, I think.
Oh, I agree. So this is how the match ends. Cena goes for his classic finish. Del Rio tags in Cole and rolls out just before he can get the attitude adjustment on Del Rio.
Right.
Cena then throws Cole. He goes over to the corner. He actually throws Michael Cole in the ring.
And Cole did not want to enter the ring the hard way. No, that's for sure. He kind of like just flopped down over the top rope and smucked the ground. But
at one point, he kind of is begging to John Cena, and he's trying to shake John Cena's hand. But Cena said no.
Turns it into a...
attitude adjustment.
And then tags in his good old buddy, JR. JR enters the ring, slaps on the ankle lock. Cole taps out right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Jim Ross and John Cena standing tall at the end of the match.
At this point, Del Rio's had enough. He drags John Cena to the outside of the ring. Cena ends up giving Del Rio an attitude adjustment on the ring or on the outside floor.
And it was weird. He kind of got boos for it. Yeah. That's the whole weird thing I noticed about this match. It was like Alberto comes out, he's got a mixed reaction from the crowd. Cena comes out, he's got an amazing pop. But then when the match started, did you notice that Cena was getting booed whenever he'd get moves on Alberto, and then vice versa? Alberto was getting, was getting the pop as he was getting the advantage.
It's a very interesting time for John Cena. Every city he goes to, sometimes he gets cheered, sometimes he gets booed.
But I thought, I would have thought that the crowd would have been firmly behind Cena based on the entrances. But then when the actual match itself got started, the whole reaction of the crowd kind of switched, and I thought that was kind of odd.
You know, a lot of that can play into the audio technician on the mixer. Like, he can make you hear what you want to hear. He can make you hear whatever he wants you to hear, is what I'm trying to say.
So you're telling me that the audio technician was the one giving Alberto Del Rio the...
No, I'm saying that what you might have perceived to be a mixed reaction, maybe when you're sitting there in the audience, it wasn't. Maybe it was a distinguished... Maybe it was clear-cut who they were cheering for, and we just didn't get that.
Well, you sure didn't get the pop that Cena did.
No, not at the beginning. But I'm saying, like, that's what I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm just saying... Maybe you didn't hear what you heard in the arena. Like, no?
No, not following you there. Sorry, okay. Buddy. Gotta leave you hanging there.
All right. Well, because there's a lot of time when they'll do a chant and you won't even hear it because the audio guy will turn it down on you.
Really? I think that's dumb.
They do it all the time. If there's a chant that they don't want you to hear, the audio guy has the power to take that audio right out of the show.
So why didn't the audio guy take out Let's Go Oilers in the Edmonton Raw?
Well, it's not a terrible chant to start.
Fucking right. It is. It's a terrible. Okay. We won't get into that. But.
All right. So after Jim Ross applies the ankle lock to Cole for the tapo and they pick up the victory, like I said, Del Rio drags Cena outside the ring. Cena ends up giving Del Rio the attitude adjustment on the outside floor. Then Cena actually starts counting to 10. He gets to 7. Doesn't finish his count to 10. He gets to 7, and he ends up clotheslining Del Rio. And then he actually picks up the steel steps, and he battering rams Del Rio with them. He sits in a chair, begins his count to 10 all over again, finishes his 10 count, and then he announces that he's made up his mind on what the match stipulation between him and Alberto Del Rio will be at Vengeance, and that will be a last man standing match.
A match that John Cena has never lost, ladies and gentlemen.
So your thoughts on the big end of tonight's Raw?
Well, it told me one thing. It told me that Cena is going to win on Sunday.
Really? And why do you think that is?
Because, number one, he's never lost a last man standing match. I don't think he ever... I cannot see Del Rio beating him in a last man standing match.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to put the strap back on to Cena now that they're done their Mexico tour.
Really? You think that's just how it's going
to
go?
I think so. And I think Cena will hold the belt all the way to WrestleMania.
It's tough to disagree with you. I want to because I just don't like you, but I can't. I firmly believe that you're going to be... I think you're right on this one.
You know, you're going to see Cena with his 11th championship come this Sunday. That's what I think.
These are just quick stats. You know? This whole stretch of 4 months has been a big boost to Cena's stats. You know?
I honestly think the only reason they put the strap on Del Rio in the first place was for this Mexico tour that they were doing.
And I think they might be a little disappointed with the reaction they got that he's getting. He's got to be.
What, with Del Rio?
Yeah, I mean, he got no real crowd pop tonight.
Oh, sure he did, man. When the match was going and he was getting... When he had the advantage on Cena and he was hitting like those... When he was hitting those back body drops and he was hitting the back drops. Oh, yeah, he was getting...
But then there were some moves that Cena was doing to Del Rio and he was getting a big crowd pop. So maybe it was just a split crowd. Maybe that's the different... Maybe that's the deciding factor here. That it was just a really split crowd.
Yeah. No, I was very surprised at the reaction that Cena got.
Because when they showed crowd shots, you did see a lot of orange shirts there.
Oh, there's tons of Cena merchandise there.
Yeah.
Tons.
So maybe
lots
that's...
Lots of kids, too. Lots and lots of kids.
It's got to be just a split crowd. That's sort of what's throwing us off. But one thing is for sure, I do believe you're right. I do think that they are going to get that belt off Del Rio, put it back on Cena at Vengeance, and he will have it from here on out.
All the way up to WrestleMania with his...
It's got to be because we're getting close
big
to...
big match at The Rock.
It's got to be. We're getting close to Cena versus Rock. It's starting, you know, it starts the night before Survivor Series. I think that's what that press release said.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it starts soon.
Right, and Cena said that he was going to have the title into his match with Rock in WrestleMania way back in April.
He did say that.
So...
The night after WrestleMania last year, he said he will... gain the WWE Championship.
And you'll hold it, and you'll have it at the match with The Rock, and it'll be for the title.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're going to follow through with that?
I would hope they do.
I would hope they do, too. You hear me, Cena?
Yeah. No. Yes, he does, James. That's right. Hears you.
He's listening to me. He's listening to me on his iPhone 4S right now.
Oh, God. I really believe that he will win at Vengeance, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's a bad thing. It's tarnishes the belt.
Yeah, I just think that there could be another set of guys that could use that championship for their storyline heading into WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Like, Del Rio needs a title. He needs to be in the title picture for the fans to believe that he is a monster heel.
Well, I don't think he's supposed to be a monster heel.
Well, heading into WrestleMania, what reason are people going to have to get interested in his match if it's not for the title? Like, do you think he has enough outside of a title picture to have a big match at WrestleMania?
At this point, I'd say no.
I'd say no as well. So Del Rio is, in my opinion, someone who needs that belt heading into WrestleMania. Cena isn't.
But you could say the same thing about Randy Orton. Does Randy Orton need to have, like, to be in the title picture to be considered?
No.
You could make almost the same argument.
Well, no, I think Randy Orton has enough behind his character and enough behind his history that he doesn't need to be in the title picture to have a big match at WrestleMania.
Mm. Okay, I see what you mean. All right. No, I agree with you. Okay, yeah. I see what you mean now.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to do it, though. I think it'll be Cena that does take it into WrestleMania.
What did you think of the stage setup and the graphics and everything with the Mexican flags?
I don't mind it. It's like when they go over to London and do a European show. Yeah, like, it adds something.
They got the Union Jack there.
Yeah, it adds something.
It's just a little something to let you know that it's not a regular show. So, anyways, yeah, Monday Night Raw ends off with John Cena standing tall in the middle of the ring. And it's going to be, that's right, a last man standing match at Vengeance, him and Alberto Del Rio. For the WWE Championship.
Do you want to get into predictions for Vengeance? Quick predictions? Or do you want to wait until Thursday's show before we do that?
I think we're going to wait till Thursday for that. But real quick, what did you like and what did you not like about Raw tonight?
Well, I would still... I'm going with this again. I really did like Dolph Ziggler tonight. I thought his promo in the ring before he gave the microphone to Jack Swagger was beyond excellent.
You know what? I don't know why they're miring him down in the tag division. I really don't.
Yeah, he is so good on that mic. He's convincing.
It's because they don't know what to do with him. That's why they're throwing him into the tag division.
Yeah. You know? It's got
to
be.
That's the same with Swagger. They don't know what to do with him either, so just throw him into the tag division.
And if you wanted to ask me what I didn't like, two words. Mason Ryan. I just don't think he has it. I don't think he should be there. I think there are a lot of other wrestlers in this world who deserve that TV time more than Mason Ryan has. Am I saying they need to get rid of him completely? No. But he should not be on Monday Night Raw.
How did that guy get by the wellness program? That's what my question is.
How did that guy skip the whole developmental system? I mean, he wasn't in it for very long before they brought him up.
Look at him. That's how he skipped the developmental system.
But that's just poor talent scouting, in my opinion.
That's just
You're just going off looks. You're not looking at the whole picture. He doesn't have it.
It's Vince McMahon for you.
Like, he doesn't have it. He's so far... He just isn't... He's stiff in the ring.
Ultimate,
he's terrible on the mic.
Ultimate Warrior, anybody?
As soon as he opens his mouth, it's really bad. Uh-huh. Like, I don't understand what they... Other than the look, he doesn't have it.
Okay, well, I got to say, from Raw tonight, my like was definitely Mark Henry. I know I keep going back to Mark Henry every single week, but it's... When the guy is putting out work the way that he is, it's hard not to. That end spot that he had with John Morrison was just... Oh.
Yeah, it would look really
good. Beautiful. Threw him into the rope, tossed him into the air, and then, bam, into a World's Strongest Slam. One fluid motion. It was just... deserving champion. That's all I'm going to say right now. Mm-hmm. And my dislike... Second week in a row, I got to agree with you. It's got to be Mason Ryan. It's either Mason Ryan or John Laurinaitis. So yeah, it's a toss-up. Well, I can't decide which one annoyed me more on this show.
Yeah, I know.
If it was either Mason Ryan and his inability to move properly or to wrestle properly or speak properly, or John Laurinaitis with just his inability to speak properly.
So it's
one of the two. It's Laurinaitis or Mason Ryan.
So hopefully in the next couple weeks you'll come to a decision on who's worse.
I come to a quick decision now, Laurinaitis.
You're done with him already, are you?
Oh, it's terrible.
I know.
The whole first segment of Raw was just, I was gnashing my teeth. It was so bad.
I know. When he was stumbling on those words, and I was just like, oh my God.
And just everything from him looks so contrived and fake, like just, you know, he looks like he's acting. That's what I guess I could say.
Right? Yeah. No, I agree.
So.
The only good thing about John Laurinaitis that he's doing at this point is this whole text messaging thing.
Yeah, you're right. That's his only saving grace at this point.
Yeah, but with Mason Ryan, he's got nothing going for him.
No,
don't think he should be on television. No. Would you agree with
that? The only thing he's got going for him is the look, and that's kind of... It's even the look is just too much, I think.
I agree with what you said earlier. How did he get past the wellness program? Yeah. I don't know how that happens. No one looks that... good or not good. I don't even want to use the word good. No that one looks jacked. That jacked naturally.
No.
So how is he doing it? You know,
how did he get by the wellness program?
That is the million-dollar question.
On Smack Talk Radio Live on a Monday night this week.
Okay, James, we got to get out of here.
That was Monday Night Raw, our Monday Night Raw review. Smack Talk Radio Live on a Monday night.
I'm kind of disappointed with Raw this week. I didn't mind it. I liked that they're from Mexico. I thought that was a good change and a good twist, and it was nice to see the Mexican crowd. But overall, I think they dropped the ball on this one.
My final thoughts were it wasn't the greatest Raw, but it wasn't as bad as last week.
Mm-hmm. All right. SRL on a Monday night. Folks, we will be back Thursday night. I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald. We'll see you then.